Good morning once again. And if you have a copy of your Bible, please turn to John chapter 14 today. We're going to be in verses 15 through the end of the chapter. As we have been talking in weeks past, we are looking at the last words of Jesus to his disciples before he goes to the cross. Last week we talked about the idea of how the Lord has used, is calling us to be calm in the midst of some rather scary times. He has said that he is leaving, and he told his disciples, "Where I'm going, you can't come." And this bothered the disciples greatly because they wanted to be with Jesus, and so they are a bit frightened, and Jesus is trying his best to calm them down. Today we're going to look at a portion of Scripture that is vital to our understanding of God, because Jesus is going to talk to us, talk to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was a kid, my grandfather used to preach about the Holy Ghost. And I've talked to you before about how easily frightened I am, or was at that time, still am, considering some things. Whenever I thought as a little child about the Holy Ghost, it scared me, because I was like, what's this ghost that's going to come and take over me and all this stuff? And I really didn't understand it. When I got a little older and began to realize what the Holy Ghost was, that the Holy Spirit is, that it is that part of God which comes to take up residence within the believer. And Jesus explains a little bit about his purpose and his duties in this passage that we're going to read this morning. In John chapter 14, we see Jesus talking to his disciples, and he is telling them, "The Holy Spirit, I am going to send to you, the Father will send to you, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead you. The Holy Spirit is going to walk with you. The Holy Spirit is going to take you to those next steps that you need." And as Jesus speaks, he gives them three things that the Holy Spirit is going to lead them into, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's begin this morning with our scripture reading. And here it is, John chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. Will you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word as we read it together? John 14, 15 through 31. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, 'But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?' Jesus replied, 'If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and for your word. We thank you that in it we see who you are and who you have revealed yourself to be. And Lord, I pray that this morning as we look into this passage of Scripture, the words of your Son Jesus to his disciples moments before he was to be arrested and taken to trial and eventually crucified, that we have been given an enormous gift, a gift that defies reasoning, that defies logic, Lord, but a gift nonetheless that we need to make sure that we understand it and that we use it to the best of our ability. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that as your Spirit works in us, that the words of my mouth, Lord, would be yours and not my own, and that your Spirit would use it in the life of each one of us today, and that we might become the people who you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Holy Spirit leads us into three things. The first thing that we see Jesus talking about is that the Holy Spirit will lead us into love. He says in verse 15, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. Jesus is saying here that obedience is equal to love. It's how we show God that we love him. It's how we show Jesus that we love him, as we walk in obedience to his commands. He goes on in verse 16, he says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. And the Spirit, he says, that it is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is the one who will take God's word in our lives and will make it clear to us. The Apostle Paul said of the Holy Spirit that when a spiritual person reads Scripture, they are able to understand it because of the Spirit living inside them. He also said that those who are of a natural man who does not have the Spirit of God can't understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. Oh, there might be some concepts in Scripture that we understand simply by reading. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. For example, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie to each other. Yeah, that makes sense. That's something we should do. Don't murder another person. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But when we get into things like love your enemies, what? When we get into things like be kind to those who mistreat you and pray for those who persecute you, what? I don't get that at all. And even sometimes those of us who are in the Spirit don't get that at all. But it is the things that we read in Scripture that the Spirit of truth comes and he helps us and he leads us into understanding that truth. Jesus goes on and he says that you know the Spirit, for he lives with you and he will be in you. Jesus is speaking prophetically here to his disciples about the time after his ascension into heaven, during the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and actually took up residence within them. And that's a whole nother sermon. The Spirit also not only leads us into truth, but he helps us to see Jesus. He says, before long the world will not see me, verse 19, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And so we live in this idea that when we walk in the Spirit, when we have the Spirit living inside of us, he helps us to see who Jesus really is. He helps us and he reveals Jesus to us in ways that we have not before seen. If you've been a Christian for a length of time, you realize that as you go back and you pore over Scripture and as you read about Christ and as you look at Jesus over and over again, you see different things that you hadn't seen before. That's the Spirit at work helping you to see Jesus for who He truly is. The Son of God, the perfect Lamb of the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sins, the atoning sacrifice for sins. Jesus says that the Spirit will help us, will also help us to truly love Him. He says that whoever has my commands and obeys them, we're in verse 21, he is the one who loves me. And that obedience, that love of Jesus leads us to obedience. But look what happens then. That obedience leads to fellowship. Look at what else he says. He who loves me by being obedient, who has my commands and obeys them, he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. We have a fellowship with God, the Father, when we walk in obedience. And then that obedience turns into not just a fellowship, but it also leads us to know Christ more, to know Him better, because He says, I will show myself to Him. Now listen, these are words that Jesus was telling His disciples, but friends, understand that as we read these words in Scriptures, we got to understand that Jesus is saying that about us, who know Christ as our Savior, who have put our faith and trust and our belief in who He said He was. And we say, yes, I believe in that. Because the Scriptures say, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, or if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen?
Amen.
And we have eternal life through Christ. And because of that, when we place our faith in Jesus, when we believe that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus is our Lord, we then have the Spirit of God living in us. And Jesus then, through His Spirit, reveals more and more of Himself to us. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't that make you love Jesus all the more? I'll tell you, I've been married almost 24 years now. And in those 24 years, I have grown to know my wife more and more and more. And I'm still learning things about her. But it is those things that I find out about her, they don't make me love her less. They make me love her more. Even the things that are a little quirky or weird about my wife, they make me love her more. And as we get to know Christ more, as we get to know Him better, we will love Him more and more and more. So the Holy Spirit leads us into love. He also leads us into truth. Number two, verse 22, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, and I find it interesting, and this is a side note, I find it interesting that John is very careful to tell us that this is not Judas Iscariot. And I believe there's a number of reasons for that. Number one, because he already told us back in chapter 13 that Judas left. And he wanted us to realize Judas is gone here. That these words that Jesus is speaking, he is speaking to the 11 faithful disciples. Judas is nowhere to be seen. He's out getting the chief priests and leading them to where Jesus will be. But this is Judas, not Judas Iscariot, says to Jesus, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us, but not to the world? Now, this is an interesting question, because you have to understand the thought processes that were going through the disciples' mind at this time. When Messiah came, their belief was that when Messiah came, he would overthrow Rome, kick Rome out, and restore Israel to its glory as a nation, and that they would rule the world, basically. That's what they believed. And there is a time coming when that will happen, okay? So don't misunderstand me. They weren't wrong in their belief. They were just, they missed a step, okay? So he's asking this question, why are you going to show yourself to us, but not to the world? He's thinking, okay, if you are going to go and you are going to kick Rome out and you are going to set up this kingdom, how are you going to do that just showing yourself to us and not to the world? I mean, honestly, it's an honest question, because if Jesus is going to set up a kingdom, the whole world's going to know about it, right? So Jesus tries to explain to Judas and to the rest of the disciples what he's talking about here. He says, listen, Judas, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. Do you sense a theme here of what Jesus is saying? Once again, we come back to this idea of love equals obedience. Those who love Jesus will obey what he says. Look what it says. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, listen, and make our home with him. What? If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. We talked about the Trinity in our Sunday school class this morning, and if you want me to explain the Trinity to you, see me afterwards if you can catch me. No, because it's one of those things you can't, I mean, there are illustrations you can use, but they all fall short in some way, okay? Like you have the water exists in vapor, in water, and in ice. And those three, it's all water, and that's kind of good, but still, vapor is different than water, and water is different than ice. Whereas in the Trinity, all three are separate, but it's one God. If you have vapor, you're not going to have ice, right? But with God, the vapor and ice and water can all exist at the same time and exist together. So that's where it breaks down, right? So anyway, Jesus is saying here that those who love me, my Father will love, that God the Father will love, and God the Father and God the Son will come to this person and they will make their home with him. The triune God, folks, listen to me. Those who love Jesus and obey his teaching have the triune God living with them. Does that blow you away? Verse 24, he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus is just telling them, listen, this isn't me. This is God the Father speaking, okay? All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, again, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have spoken to you. The Holy Spirit helps us to remember. He helped the disciples remember. But he also helps us remember. I think of it this way. The Holy Spirit is similar to our conscience. All right, we all have a conscience, right? We all have that thing inside of us that knows right from wrong. Even before we come to Christ, we have that thing in our hearts that, well, if I stole a cookie, Mom told me not to take a cookie, but I took a cookie anyway, and now I'm feeling bad because I took the cookie. Okay. Maybe that wasn't you. That was me. And I felt bad about it. And so that feeling guilty of that was a part of who I was. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is so much more than our conscience. All right? I think of it, he's similar to our conscience, but on steroids, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of the things that we have read, the things that we have seen, the things that we have put in our life. And he brings back to mind This is the way of Christ. This is what Jesus has commanded you to do. Do not forget. Do not disobey. Be obedient. Love Jesus the way you are called to love Jesus. Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they all want to live with you. Amen. It's what they want. You might look at me and say, why would anyone want to live with that guy? And I might look at you and think the same thing. But here's the point. God does. God loves you. The triune God, the master of the universe, the creator of all things, the sovereign ruler of all that we see and all that we don't see. He is the one who loves you and wants you to love him in this way. And he wants to live with you. So the Holy Spirit leads us into love. He leads us into truth. But he also leads us into peace. Look at the very next verse. Excuse me. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. He is saying that to us. Now listen. Listen. What's about to happen in a few hours to Jesus, his disciples are going to forget all about what they just heard. The chief priests and the leaders of the Jewish community are going to come and they're going to arrest Jesus. And they're going to scatter. They're going to run like the cockroaches when the light comes on. They're just going to scatter. Try to hide. And I think these words of Christ for his disciples, I'm not sure if they were, I mean, obviously Jesus knew what was going to happen. I'm not sure that these words were necessarily for his disciples in a couple of hours from this, when all this goes on. But I think these are words that came back to them after a while, and they saw Jesus and they remembered the things that, and again, the Spirit reminding them of the things that Jesus said, and that peace that Jesus wanted to give them. He says, do not be afraid. Now look at what he says. Look at what he says here. You heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you'd be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. Verse 29, I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Jesus has told us what we need to know. Folks, listen. Christians, listen. Listen closely. Everything that we need to know is found in the Scriptures. Everything. Our statement of faith reads it this way, and then this isn't a direct quote, this is probably a paraphrase, but it says something along the lines that the Scriptures are our final authority for our lives. That everything that we need to know about God and how to live the Christian life are found in the pages of Scripture. Everything. How do I deal in my business dealings? You'll find it in the pages of Scripture. How do I raise my family? You'll find it in Scripture. How do I have a strong marriage? You'll find it in Scripture. How do I live for Christ and share my faith with others? You'll find it in Scripture. Everything that you need, Jesus has told us what we need to know. So we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. What do I do now? Read the book. Read the book. Don't be Tim the Toolman Taylor and say, instructions are for sissies. No, instructions are for men and women who love Jesus. And we have to be in them every day. He goes on and he says, I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. Well, We must trust that we have the things that God wants us to have and be bold in living out for Him. But this last part that Jesus speaks of, we can do this. We can have peace. We can not be afraid. We can trust and be bold because of the sufferings of Jesus. Listen to what He says in verse 30. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Now listen. Jesus is saying all this. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. If you love me, you'll do what I say. And here's the point. Here, in this very last point, this is what Jesus is saying. You need to know, and the world needs to know, that I love my Father because I am doing exactly what He is commanding me to do. I am on my way to the cross because that's what God wants me to do. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, and I love my Heavenly Father so much that even though I know what I'm going to face, even though I know what's going to happen to me physically and spiritually, I am willing to obey and put my trust in my Heavenly Father because He has commanded me to do it, and because He has commanded me to do it, and because I love Him, I will obey. Hebrews tells us that Jesus learned obedience through what He suffered. Just think of those words. Jesus learned obedience through what He suffered. If Jesus needs to learn obedience, folks, there's not one of us in this room that doesn't need to learn it too. So the Holy Spirit will lead us into love. He'll lead us into truth. He leads us into peace. Let's challenge ourselves a bit here tonight, today, whatever. What is it? It's morning still. Three questions. And then we'll sing, and then we'll be dismissed, okay? First question is this. Does your love for Jesus translate to obedience? I don't think there's a Christian sitting in this room right now who wouldn't say, I love Jesus. And I'm so thankful for what Jesus has done. But friends, how many of you know people who say, oh, I am so thankful that I am a believer. I am so thankful that Jesus saved me. I'm so thankful that I have eternal life. And then you look them in the eye and say, okay, that's great. Now, why don't you go and forgive that person who just treated you badly? Well, I'm not going to do that. Brothers and sisters, if the love that we have for Jesus isn't translating into obedience, please hear me. We do not love Jesus. That's what He said. That's His words, not mine. Verse 24, He says, He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So if our love is not translating into obedience, we do not love. And so you need to ask yourself this question. Does the love that I have for Jesus, is that causing me to be obedient to Him? Because if it's not, then we need to examine our life to see if we are in the faith. Because we very well might not be. Second challenge. Do you know the truth? Are you living it? Are you living out the truth? It's one thing to know truth. It's another thing to be living it out. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Haney. Anyway. Do you know the truth? Are you living it? It's one thing to know. You know, I can know. All right. It's time to start stepping on some toes. I can know that the speed limit on 94 going up to Hamlet is 55 miles an hour. I know that's the truth. But I can choose I can say, yeah, that's the truth, but I'm going to live not in the truth. I'm going to go 60 or 65 down that road. And you might live a long, happy, healthy life going 65 down 94 until Mr. Sullivan in his big SUV nails you with the radar gun and pulls out and pulls you over. You can know the truth. You can know the truth. But if you know the truth, you must live in it. We have to live in it. If we call ourselves believers in Jesus Christ, then we have to live that truth out, not just know it. It's gotta move 3 feet from up here in our head to down here in our heart. So that, yes, if the truth abides in our heart and we love Jesus, then we're gonna do what He says. Last challenge question is this, and this is a big one. Are you at peace? Two ways to look at it. Number one, for the Christian. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus has commanded us to not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, He said. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Those words are not suggestive. They are imperative. They are commands. They are given to us by a loving Christ, a loving Savior who desires for us to live in peace. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the absence of fear. And we must live in a state of perpetual boldness that comes only from knowing that our God reigns, that our Savior is not dead, He is alive, He is seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and He is coming back, and we will reign with Him because in Him we live and move and have our being. Amen. So, Christian, if your answer to this question is no, you need to get alone with God and spend some time being obedient to Philippians chapter 4. Let me make sure I get it right here. I think it's 4:5. Let me double check. 4:6-7. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, where Paul tells us, do not be anxious about most things. No, do not be anxious about anything. So, believer, are you at peace? If you're not, you need to spend some time with God. Now, for those who don't know Christ, I want to say this. If you're answering this question, no, that's a good thing. Because if you are here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you should not be at peace. Because you are in danger. Danger. Danger, Will Robinson. The Holy Spirit, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is given to us to do is to convict the world of sin, to convict those without the Spirit of their sin. And so you shouldn't be at peace. You need Jesus as your Savior. You need Jesus as your Lord. And as I said earlier, that if you confess, the Scriptures tell us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. The more I study Scripture and the more I study what it takes to have salvation, it is so simple, and sometimes we make it so complex. And it's not about praying a prayer. It's not about going to church. It's not about doing anything except believing that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he did what the scriptures say he did, that he rose again, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is who he claims to be. And that his sacrifice for sin was enough to cover yours. And if you've never done that, today can be your day. And then we'll ask you this question again, and you'll be able to say, yes. If you're here this morning and you don't have that peace because you know you are not a believer in Jesus, then today is the day to do that. Today is the day to place your faith fully on him so that he can take you and take you to where that through his Spirit, he can take you where he needs you to be. If you'd like to do that today, please come and see me afterwards. See one of our elders. See someone who you know has a good relationship with Christ, and they can tell you. It doesn't have to be me, but if you'd like to, that'd be great. We're going to close in prayer here in just a second, but I don't want to leave out this last part of the text. When Jesus says, come now, let us leave. This is the point, and this might seem trivial, but it's not. This is the point where they are leaving the upper room. Up to this time, they've been around the Passover table, having this conversation, having this discussion. And Jesus says, it's time to go. And they get up, and from the other Gospels, we read that they get up and they leave, and they're walking to Gethsemane. And a lot of these next verses that we're going to study, these have to do, Jesus is walking the path to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is going to be betrayed, where he is going to be arrested, and it's all going to begin. And so let's not overlook those words, because this is where it begins. Easter's coming up in, what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And we celebrate Good Friday. It's good because in that Jesus paid for our sins. It's not good because of what happened to him, and as we study that, but we understand that. And so in these next few weeks, it's my hope that as we look at what Jesus is saying here, as we continue to work through this, that we'll see Christ for who he is, that we'll see what Jesus needs us to know as we live our life through him. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that in Christ, that those in Christ are new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to live our lives the way that you have called us to. Help us to live in obedience. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to be all that you have called us to be, so that we might have eternal life in Christ. I pray this, Lord, in the name of your Son Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.